Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans. Yes, I made it back to my office here south of the border after my wonderful visit to Toronto, Canada, to watch a sweep yesterday afternoon up in the Rogers Centre. It was a wonderful day for me to be up in the city and had a great time with a bunch of other podcasting fun with the Walk-Off podcast and the Locked On Jays podcast, but I'll get to some of those details in just a little bit. Jason, my co-host, how are we doing this evening?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you, buddy. I feel like I'm a little underdressed, if not underdressed, at least underseasoned. Great. I mean, you know, amazing week in Jays baseball. Everything's getting fired up here with kids going back to school and more of the heavy duty all-star baseball the kids are playing. So lots of fun times, not a lot of free time, but yeah, you know, that's how we go.
And as you had mentioned, we have two prestigious guests this evening, as we have these two gentlemen with us on the lower half of the screen. We have the Looney Dog Kings. What's going on, Ryan and Jody?
Thank you for having us, Craig. We appreciate it. Always looking for another reason to put on the suits.
There it is. I'm wondering, we didn't get anything going for the night, but we could have had a ticker and we could have all started trying to eat hot dogs. I feel like I missed an opportunity here. It's, you know, they're wrapping up summer. I could have gotten the grill out one more time.
I don't know. So. I didn't want to make anybody feel bad. I mean, I just, out of hot dogs being in front of me yesterday at a baseball thing, ate six. So I wouldn't want to put anybody to shame. So let's just keep the lore of the Hot Dog Kings flowing and not crush dogs.
We are full of shame. Don't worry, Jason. The shame, we're okay. That is, you know, you can't, like, look at us, right? We started this as a, I'll give you some background, Craig. We started this as a joke, a dad joke that has gone horribly wrong, I think, at this point. Ryan has often had a season ticket holder for those opening packages where they have, you know, a couple of months, you get all the games, home games. He could use the weekends. I was using the weekdays. I ended up at a lot of Tuesday games. My wife not finding that very good when I'm eating all these hot dogs and she's healthy and it's just not great. So we try to kick off the end of the season ticket package that he had in May. And he says, why don't we just do one night? We'll go out. We'll eat a ridiculous number of hot dogs. So we go out. We have that. We have seven, Jason, seven. We go back. You know, we're telling our friends about this. And they're like, that seven, that's not enough. That's not enough hot dogs. Like, that doesn't seem like that many. And we're like, you didn't do it. You don't know. It is a horrible number.
Yeah.
So fast forward now, you get to the end of the August. So this is last season. Get to the end of August. Cubs are coming into town. My kids are planning to take group of people visiting from the UK to the game. I like the Cubs. They're my National League team. And it's a Tuesday night. I'm like, hey, more hot dogs. And my kids say, Dad, please, you're not invited. And I'm like, well, you're going to need a ride there. You're going to need a ride home. Come on, you know, I'll come along. So I write to Ryan. I say, Ryan, how about one more kick at the can here? We're going to get, you know, ridiculous number of hot dogs. I may have ordered a pair of these. And I sent him a picture of these suits. And he's like, if you've got the suits, I'm in.
Yeah.
So
that should, that oh, should, that's exactly the right answer, Ryan. 100% of the time.
Amen. So we get to the game, put on the suits. We think to ourselves, all right, no, what'll be funny is like, we'll get on the Jumbotron. At some point, my kids up in the 500 level will see it. They'll be like, is that our dad? Oh. And that would be the joke, right? So instead, fourth inning, we end up in the broadcast. Now, we'd been there an hour and a half before the game, eating our hot dogs out on the WestJet flight deck and having a fun old time. And we got to about 20 hot dogs at that point. We were, you know, Ryan was at 12. I was at 8. We're like, okay, we're about done. And all of a sudden, our phones are blowing up saying they're talking about you on the broadcast. And Buck and Dan are seeing we had a little wrapper hanging over the fence there where we were keeping a tally sheet of how many we'd been counting. And they come on, and Buck's like, are we to believe these guys have eaten 20 hot dogs by the fourth inning? So we're like, yeah, we have, but now we can't not eat anymore for the rest of the game because they're going to think we just made it up. So we pushed ourselves and got through it. And in the end, we ate 30 hot dogs. Ryan, the champion, at 18, Jason. 18.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And I'm going to say this, Ryan.
I'm not sure awesome is the correct word there, Jason.
Yeah. That is a lot of tubular meat, my friend.
Yeah. Oh. So then, you know, it was a perfect news cycle. It was a quiet game. There wasn't a lot happening. We got on there. We started making out of the sports packages in the morning. I kept getting messages from people saying, hey, we saw you in the CH News and we saw you on this. And then we got called by a blog TO or an email asking if they could do an article about it. We're like, sure, figuring this is the end of it. Okay, great. 15 minutes. This is a lot of fun. Time to retire these things. And a few days later, we actually got a message from a group of season ticket holders. And they wanted to do a sort of a fundraiser where they wanted us to wear the suits again, count how many hot dogs we're doing. And they were going to contribute towards their own sort of fund for underprivileged kids to take them to a game. So they said, you know, for any of the ticket holders that are in the group, they could say $1, $3, whatever they wanted towards however many hot dogs we ate. So we're like, well, if all we have to do is eat the hot dogs, we're in. So they comped us a couple of tickets. We put on the suits. We went. In fact, they gave us each two tickets, Ryan. You remember? So I went. I never thought my first buy again purchase on Amazon was going to be hot dog suits, but that's what it was. So we buy four.
So did they give you the extra tickets so you had somebody to help you get out of the arena after the game? Were they ever eating too many hot dogs and just going?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, that's why they got the ramps. You just roll down.
Yeah, that's right.
That is a nice perk.
So then we ended up with three guys in a mustard suit. You know, and we tried that out. Did it again. We ended up raising enough for 45 kids to go to a game. They got like a food coupon and I think a piece of merch as well. Like they had some connections with the team that they hooked them all up. Great, great little thing. That was so much fun. Probably the end of it. And they're like, well, thank you for doing this. Can we give you each a set of tickets again? And so of the four of us, they gave us each another pair of tickets. So now we have eight. So now we're up to like six, seven hot dogs showing up. You know, it was just a piece. That game, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, that was the Aaron Judge home run game.
Walk-off.
When he was going for the record. He didn't hit it in that game.
Right. He was going for it on the Tuesday. I think so the flight deck is packed. They're limiting how many people could come in and out of it. And we're all there. We're waiting for the seventh inning stretch. The fellows that do the Jumbotron stuff are hanging out. I hear the producer say, you know, the J-Force is caught on the concourse. They can't get down. And I looked at him. I said, dude, we got you. I said, guys, spread out. We all, and so we started leading the seventh inning stretch from the WestJet flight deck where the crew should have been
leading.
Oh, very poorly, which again then ended up on the broadcast with Buck giving us great inspiration. Just come on, boys, get in sync, and we're just
do it.
And then again, we thought that would be the end of it.
Yeah. So did you end up leading like the OK Blue Jays chant and you're just kind of going like this the whole time?
Yep. Oh, no. We had the row. We were getting it down.
Perfect. We weren't in sync, but it wasn't like we didn't know what we were doing. Never mind. No.
Yeah. We're watching people from across the dome.
Yeah. We're trying to watch the J-Force down on the field from the flight deck.
Yeah. Oh, I was trying to find the ridiculous amount of hot dogs that had been eaten at the Rogers Center this year, and I'm just assuming you guys put in a little small fraction of the dent on there. Apparently, back in July was the record night of 75,173. So, I find that crazy, and to that point, I would have aptly joined in that conversation if I was there contributing to that. I don't know how you guys are familiar with the Buffalo culture and Rochester, New York culture, but we have this thing here called the garbage plate, which is it's a meat over a bed of home fries and Mac's salad. And usually this guy buys Red Hots just like I did this afternoon when I was home. So not eating a lot of hot dogs when that, but it comes with two full hot dogs just thrown on the top of that stuff. And if you guys are ever south of the border, I'm more than happy to show you and treat. So
there we go.
But on that note, you will not be walking after it. And the reason it's called a garbage plate is it looks like a pile of just whatever the hell you think of. It's clearly some drunken asshole's concoction, and it just tastes phenomenal. But that's the local Rochester food. Just like Buffalo has their chicken wings, we have our garbage plates here. And that's the minor league baseball team here in town. All the I-90 AAA baseball teams do what they basically do, a food culture night, basically, and they wear different uniforms. Buffalo obviously is chicken wings. The Syracuse Chiefs are like salt potatoes and things like that. And then the Rochester Red Wings are the Rochester plates, and it just looks like this really weird like hot dog and mustard layered like item on a jersey. It's really amusing. So, but I had to share that culture part with you, dude, knowing your guys love a hot dog. So
there you go.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I gotta say, Craig, I am glad you didn't bring hot dogs into tonight, because we've got a loony dog night tomorrow night. Yeah, so
you don't need
to warm up. I can't have any yet. I gotta stay hungry. Stay hungry. Yeah.
So I guess now is this like one of those things like your Joey Chestnut where you prep for weeks and don't eat anything but like you know bread and water or anything
like
that?
It's more the opposite. It's more the we dial it down the day after Loony Dog Night.
Makes
and then
sense.
You sort of try to recover. It's like the diet starts on a Wednesday and you start trying to flush out the nitrates and get yourself back to some sort of healthy feeling after a couple of days, and then we're geared back up. It's funny you say that. We were talking with Joey Chestnut. It's very different. Like, we are not in this to be like competitive eaters or anything. We're just literally just eating hot dogs, and we've
come up for a good cause though at some points.
yeah and we do it out of fun. It's probably killing us a little bit every week, but we'll take it. That's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, just remember, the season is almost over. I think tomorrow is your last Loony Dog Night, unless second we all of a sudden have one for a playoff push, right?
Yeah,
we got two left.
Two left.
Oh, that's right. This is the October game, right?
Yeah. So we're looking forward to them both. Yep. It's flown by.
You know, Craig.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I was looking at the schedule around the Yankees.
I see something coming in the ether here. I feel like that we can't do it tomorrow, but I think the next one, maybe we do a special cast and we just get a stack of dogs and just see if we can keep up even. You know, like just see if we can just obliterate ourselves, just get the hot dog hallucinations and... You know,
I'll give you the tip here, Jason. What it is, Ryan will get more talking in later. He talks baseball, I talk eating. But so hot dog number 7 is the linchpin. That's the one, that's the pivot point. If you can get through 7, everything else just becomes mechanical. But getting to number 7, that's the one you got to push yourself, got to push through that one.
That's the first wall. Right. So is there another one at 14 then would be the next question?
12. I think it reciprocally gets smaller, but yeah.
See, Jody says this all the time to people, and it makes me hate myself every time he says it because I don't hit that wall until 9 or 10. Like, that's not good that I'm getting to 9 or 10 before I hit that wall.
So does that mean the last couple are that the windows closer together there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. The wall's every 1 after 9 instead of there's a little break where you get back in the swing of it.
Oh no, I can do 2 or 3 after that, and then it's like, okay, now I'm done.
Yeah. 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 Once you get past that, you can usually get a few more in, but yeah, you're right, Ryan. It's about 3, maybe 4 after you hit the wall, and you're like, I really need to be done, but keep them coming. So this season we've been actually, so we got invited by the in-game Blue Jay promo group there. I don't know what their official title is. They probably have something. I apologize, Kelly, if I got it wrong.
In-game activations team.
So they invite us and they reserve us a little spot on the Schneider's porch to participate in the Jumbotron. We meet in with the in-stadium host. They do a check-in on the overall count. They check in with us on how we're doing, and so it's been a lot of fun doing that. But now to your point here, it's we know we have to eat hot dogs at least through the 6th inning. There's no resting at this point. It's you got to kind of keep the going with the pace here. Whereas when we're just on our own, it's get as many in before the game so you can just kind of relax and watch the game.
Do you guys have to be like deadly quiet if you're going to go to another, like just a regular Jays game and you don't want to jam meat whistles in your face all day? Like, well, has the camera ever found you and you've been like, damn it, I think they know it's me?
I've been to a few games and here's the other thing is they were kind enough to give us jerseys at the start of the year. I never thought I would ever own a jersey that has hot dog on the back of it.
Hot dog number 1.
I am so thrilled that I do, but I'll wear that one. And so sometimes people will see, but usually it's just, you know, I get to just enjoy the game and relax. Well, some of the staff there have started to recognize us, but that's about it.
Yeah. We went to beard, glasses, as long as you take off the hot dog suit, we could be anybody. Craig, you could be one of us, you know, just,
be fine. Like Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne, right?
we were at one of the playoffs games and jokingly we wore the suits but it was an afternoon game or however. I had a Subway sub in my bag and I like half of it left over, and we get there early, we got to the spot and I'm like, I can't suit up. I feel like I'll be off brand if I'm eating a sandwich with this. Like I can't do it. So had to kind of hide and sneak a sandwich in.
You literally
inconspicuously like behind your arm while you're in.
Just so you know, I often hide and eat sandwiches, so don't feel weird.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying I don't do that at home too. I'm just saying, I guess. let's be honest, like Loony Dog Night is the cheapest dinner in Toronto, bar none, right? So you know you're at a playoff game, you brought your own sandwich. That's one of the great things the Rogers Center allows, is for you to bring your own food in. That was different, but I think we still ended up having a foot long that night anyway. It's like,
yeah, we each did a foot long. Spent as much as we would on that as we would on a night of Loony Dogs.
Yeah.
And you had about not even a third of the amount of meat you would ever have had, because there's, you know, Subway's a meatless sub shop.
That's right.
You know, yeah, you get that little thin, like, yeah. I used to work there in high school. I know, I get it. And I quit the day they brought the toaster in because I'm like, yep, nope, I'm good. Done. Walking out.
Why do they complicate these things so much? You know,
hey, Jody, I thought Craig had the inside scoop.
Like it was my job.
I thought Craig had the inside scoop there because I think it was actually a veggie patty sub that you brought that.
Yeah, it was. I was trying to be healthy.
Sure was. Nope. I didn't know that part. But to that point, you know, like I said, just being a guy that worked at Subway as a sub artiste for my high school year. Yeah. And let's just say I met Jared a million years ago and I knew that guy was going to be creepy. I didn't know why or how, but I was right.
I had a feeling.
had a feeling. But the meatless sub shop is what it is at that point. But that's another thing we're spoiled with down here in the U.S. is here in Rochester, we have, you know, New York style subs, submarines, you know, this thick of meat. And then you just pour lettuce and onions and tomatoes and all that
but
stuff.
But I think that's been the pivot lately is the, like, I mean, you go to Subway and, you know, it's a $14 sandwich. And I think good sandwich shops have realized, hey, we can really hammer people and go to $16 and really, you know, make it worth it to have a, you know, about 600 grams of meat on your sandwich. But,
Oh, I tell you, I see, you don't end up as a 50-year-old man in a hot dog suit without at some point being a foodie of the horrible kinds. Like, yep. I spent years at work.
Drunken night level.
Oh, just it was lunches. It was always lunches. It was always trying to find what's the best value for your dollar. And I was out working in Hamilton at the time, and there used to be this convenience store that had a little sign on the window that just said lunch $1. And I had to check it out. And it was like a ground meat on a flat bread with a little spice, a little oil on it. They'd fire it in the oven and they'd give it to you. Meat sandwich, $1. Cheese was $1.25. I figure it's because they use cheese, right? Like I have no reason to believe it was real meat, but I would spend more money on antacids after the lunch than I did the actual lunch.
So the next sponsorship's coming from Tums. You're going to dress up with like a big bottle of antacids and go from there.
Look that up, Ryan. If they have that on Amazon.
We're trying to get you another pitch because we just totally ruled off Subway for you on a sponsorship with that last comment and whatnot. So I figured we had to at least help you work on the next part.
Schneider's has been very good. So that's good.
Yeah. So how many Schneider's hot dogs is the record then would be the question for your collective?
Well, Ryan is a data nerd and an analytics guy. So
I think he knows where I'm going.
We actually have spreadsheets. So Ryan, do you have it available?
I have the spreadsheet up currently. Yes.
Okay. So how many hot dogs are we at Looney Dogs? Are we at so far this season?
So this season, Jody's at 84. And I'm at 112.
Yeah.
That's nice. Awesome.
Now, in my defense, I had Joss surgery in February. So I'm still recovering from Joss surgery.
Average per game, Jody 9.3, me 12.5.
Jeez, that's awesome.
Dog so basically 21 hot dogs a game then.
Yep, on average.
So just me being the other stats nerd in the room, that's 798 grams of hot dogs you guys average per game.
I don't like that math.
But what do we got? What do we got career?
Dan? I looked up because I'm this kind of a nerd. Well, how much the average Schneider hot dog weighs? And they said 38 grams. So,
well, and yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. It says 28.
Oh, 28.
So
I feel so much healthier. So, thanks, Craig.
Yeah, absolutely. Know, yeah, right? That extra 10, man. That just wasn't fair, Craig.
Might as well be back 6 minutes of my life. That was the difference, right? it's like you got one more season in you before retirement then is what I heard instead of just
well yeah because I mean career wise Jody's looking at 126 and I'm at 167 right now and that's
not enough. That's all you're gonna hit 200 before the end of the season.
I am not doing 33 hot dogs in the next two nights.
Not with that attitude, you're not.
Yeah.
Amen, Greg. Amen.
I think that suit says something different.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I have to hit 16 tomorrow night.
Oh, that's a big ass.
Yeah. Dude. So as I'm hearing, he's like going to do some extra. It's going to be like have a Rocky man montage here before he goes. Then he's going to be weightlifting, but it's going to be him just sitting here with a bun going like this. Good stuff. So
that's the
story. Is there anything else on your guys' story you would like to throw in here before we actually get to the game that is going on currently at 0-0 and actually talk some more of this Blue Jays baseball fun?
No, we love it. We love having people stop by. We get it. We're just a couple of guys doing this for fun. We're not paid for by the Blue Jays. We're not sponsored by Schneider's. We literally just do this out of our own our own fun as fans. We just love seeing the smiles on people. We walk through Union Station wearing this on the way to you. When you see 2 6-foot hot dogs turn the corner, you know, it catches an eye, and the smiles it brings and people stop. You know, it's fun to be part of this organic sort of growth of what's become Looney Dog Night at the game. And really, I want to give kudos to the Jays and their promo team for recognizing just us as fans. Like, again, we weren't chasing this. We weren't trying to insert ourselves into anything. But they've opened up the opportunities for us to come out. And now we get to hang out with guys like you. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been amazing, really.
Absolutely. Awesome. We've met so many great people, like tons of other Jays fans who will just pop by, you know, interact on Twitter, sorry, X, not Twitter. but I will say that there is one little story. I'll take about 30 seconds, and I wish I knew what was said. The first night we did it, Jody, if you'll remember this, we're walking back to Union, and as we're getting into Union, there's a mother with like 3 kids, and the kids keep looking back at us, of course. And I wish I had have asked what was said, because she said something to her children, then turned to me and said, "Sorry, no offense." And my thought is, I'm a 6'4", 40-year-old man in a hot dog suit. What could you have said that you would think would offend me?
Yeah.
Awesome. There's so much work with there, especially with just levels of comedy. You could do whatever the hell you damn want. You could go like I was going with the one Subway comment I made, or you could go all the way up to, look at this jackass, right?
Okay, so one last thing. So you forget the practicalities of this. Like, it's like you wear this, it's hot, you're sweaty. You know, I remember the first time I had to use the men's room at the game. Never thought actually about that until you're walking in. And as you're literally walking in, you realize you're a 6-foot hot dog going in the men's room. And I just walked in. Couple of guys looked up and you just went, "Look, guys, no wiener jokes." Right? Just no wiener jokes. That was it. So
played.
Did my stuff, washed my hands, and guy walks by and just whispers, "Nice buns." Yeah. And I went, "Oh, there you go. Okay, you win. You win. That was
you
good.
Win. You win the internet."
Hey, as long as you were left the bathroom and you didn't play with your food, you're all set.
That's good.
Well, we've hit a new low.
There we go.
So on that note, just to summarize all the fun that you guys have had, and honestly, a lot of that's the reason I actually started this podcast. I wanted to start interacting with more Blue Jays fans. As a writer at the time, I was with jaysjournal.com, and I didn't feel like I was really getting the interaction level that I wanted out of it. So we started moving into this thing that was the game cast originally with Jay Bird Watching, and the whole idea was, if you didn't want to listen to Buck and Tabby one night, you could listen to us one night a month. You know, it was kind of how it started, and then moved into this natural progression of being a podcast once a week. And now we're even being bugged to even doing it more than once a week, but there's only so much time in a day, as I'm sure you two are more than aware of. And I quote one of my favorite baseball movies of all time with Kevin Costner. It's all about for love of the game, right?
So, yeah,
absolutely.
Good deal.
Oh, that's a terrible call.
Oh,
sorry.
Jason, do you want to fill us in now? I guess now you're like, you know, just
so that the Rangers had got runners on second and third, and whoever was on third was leading way off because they're playing third baseman off. And Bassett took off the mound. He stepped off the rubber and chased him back, and they're calling him for a balk, and I can't figure out why it's a balk.
I can't. I just saw that replay here on my phone because it's the only thing I don't have that's a screen here, and I don't really quite understand too. That looks like a step off to me and a run, but
yeah, it might have been a second.
Is what
check.
It is, but, well, it's probably because the baseball gods were shining on us so highly yesterday, which we're going to get plenty into here, that we were due for a slap, apparently. So let's talk the leak that was and what we have been talking with the Blue Jays, which has been a trending up situation over the last few weeks. The Blue Jays, for the current dip in quote unquote competitive people to play over the last few weeks, the Blue Jays went 10-5 over that 15 game stretch. They're 8-2, and they just finished off the Kansas City Royals with a 3-game sweep. That was a very fun, weird ending to that whole series yesterday. So we're going to talk plenty on that. But let's go back just about this time last week. Let's talk Oakland A's and wrapping up that road trip before we got to come back home. And I got a funny tidbit that I got from Jay Jackson yesterday at the walk-off podcast event that I wanted to share with everybody here. It's too funny. And but just we did what we needed to, but we still ended up coughing one up against the Oakland A's because apparently that's just the way the baseball world works. But the offense was finally clicking. A 6-5 win, a 7-1 win, a 2-5 loss, unfortunately. But like I said, things were going in the right direction. Ryan, I'm going to let you kick that conversation off with how it was last week against the Oakland A's.
Well, see, that's where
you remember. So I know it seems like a while ago with it, what happened yesterday.
I'm literally pulling the box scores up just so I can refresh my memory on it. But
overall, it doesn't need to be deep dive stuff.
I'm definitely, you know, I'm on the optimistic side, but I got to say, you know, it was good to see, you know, that 6-5, the 7-1. 6-5 was frustrating, you know, letting them crawl back in. But 7-1, I mean, that's what you have to see against a team like Oakland, right? You've got to get out there. You've got to get your bats going. You've got to do something and beat up on those little teams. You know, people talk about, oh, you know, they're a scrappy team. They're winning the games. You know, they're finding ways to win. And it's like, yeah, but you don't need to find a way to win against Oakland because you're playing Oakland.
44-99. We shouldn't have to be worrying about this.
No. And that's the thing, right? Like, but I got to say, you know, like some surprising names, you know, like that you would not have expected to be coming up in September baseball, Ernie Clement, Horowitz, Biggio, you know, like, these are not the guys that you want to be carrying your team, but it's so nice that when everybody else is a little down, that you've got them. Then, you know, you fast forward into a little later in the week and Springer starts coming on, Bo gets back and he's hitting. Like, it's like, okay, finally, we're seeing what we need to see. And that's what excites me, you know, coming in. Sorry, I've like just flown right through those two series. And that's what excites me coming into Texas, right? Like, well, with Texas coming into town, is the guys are starting to click. You know, we're starting to string together some hits. We're starting to you know, get some hits with runners on, which has just been such a difficult thing all year, runners in scoring position. So yeah, I'm pleased with, you know, 8-2 over the last 10. Would have been better at 9-1. I mean, you know, it's hard to say that, right?
Because like, that's it. It's like that little bit more. We could have played a little extra sauce on a hot dog. It would melt.
nicely.
Yeah. But Jody, how about you? Before I get to Jason, who here will always go into 900 pounds of extra stats for our series.
But it's the same. I don't know if it's a Toronto sports thing, but they always seem, our local teams seem to play down to the competition as opposed to playing up to what they're capable of. And like you said, it's the most frustrating. The games I get most excited about are the ones I want to watch a win like anyone else. You're investing the time, you're investing the energy and cheering. And so you want to see the wins. When you see these, just nothing happening in so many of these games. It's so disappointing. So when you, it's not even that they're winning these, like again, and I'm not speaking specifically to Oakland here, but just when they're not winning them, they're fighting through to win these ones. And it's just so, you know, I don't think my nails can take it through this. They should be runaways on something.
Right. So on that point, Jason, oh, God.
Oh, I was just going to say the thing I hate about the fighting, like the having to fight for the wins, obviously not the last 2 days, but you're just putting so much more strain on your pitchers.
Yeah.
Too, right. Like it's more stressful innings for your relievers. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And to that point, even Kevin Gausman's come out and said that he's on pace to have his most pitched innings season ever right now. But to that point, it's not just that stress of having that many more innings on his arm this year. It's like you said, those high leverage pitching moments and whatnot. Jason, what are you thinking over the last week here and how that kind of played out? It was fun to see the Buffalo Boys continue going off in Oakland.
why has no one deemed these guys the Buffalo Club? Like, is this not just sitting there? Like, I mean, that's the if you drink with your left hand thing, right? Or something like that. Right. So they should be the Buffalo Club. Let's just start with that. So here's a couple of things that I noticed and I'm guilty of watching a lot of baseball lately. I'm fortunate enough to be on the West Coast, so I get to see a lot of stuff because it happens in the early part of the day. So when I finish working, if I'm making dinner, if we're just about the house, there's baseball on seemingly all the time. So you guys were just mentioning the A's. There's a couple of other teams that are sort of in that same sort of, they haven't done well, but I've seen a number of their games being on the West Coast. They're a much better team than they show. They are hard. They're hard to play against. They work hard. They never stop. They can be even in that 7-1 game. They were still trying to scrap to get runs. And I mean, I got to give them a little credit. Then, I mean, I don't want to jump forward too much, but you go to Kansas City and they're awful. Holy God, are they terrible? And you've got Bobby Witt just rotting there at shortstop. And I mean, that guy is, I mean, he's unbelievable. It really is. He's offensively. He has to be close to the best player in the majors right now. He's outrageous how good that dude is. And I mean, the whole thing with the way the Jays played and to your point about talking about the pitchers, I feel like some of the pitchers have got themselves into that position. I feel like missing good, like they're trying to be too precise in some situations. I think Gausman is definitely guilty of that, trying to paint corners, paint lines, when sometimes you can just go upstairs and blow one by the guy. It was interesting to watch yesterday because they were throwing a lot of off-speed stuff and a lot of stuff with big spin, and they're coming nowhere near it. And I'm like, okay, well, why even bother throwing a fastball? These guys can't touch anything you're throwing with spin, so just keep doing it. And there's a couple of strikeouts where it was two curveballs or cutters or sliders in a row, and you don't see that too often because, I mean, a good hitter should be able to time up the second one and hammer it. But like I said, these guys are so bad that it's – They're not even there for it. So to Kansas City's credit, I mean, I can't believe Salvador Perez is still playing. Good Lord. But how old is that guy? 58?
He looks huge when he's at the plate.
He's catching still. That's the
he's
thing. Huge.
That blows my when he's behind mind. The plate, he looked average size. I couldn't believe it was him.
I'm 51, and I feel like he had already played 6 or 7 years when I was like 12. Anyways, but – you know, overall, I think the 10 in the last 15, 8-2 in the last 10, everything's trending the right way. And we're going right into the sort of teeth of the lion coming up here. And I feel like some of these scrappy wins, like that 6-5 extra innings win, although I didn't love the way it looked, it didn't look great on paper. But you know, if that's the Rays in 2 weeks, then you want that kind of fight. You want, guys going out there and leaving it all out on the line and really showing, and that's what I've seen from the Jays for the last couple of weeks, is they're coming together at the right time. They seem to really, really, really enjoy being with each other, which is great. And then they've completely brought these Buffalo guys right in. Like, I mean, you don't see anybody big time in anybody. You see guys messing with guys, and when that
springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's happening. Even if you lose a few, when you have that level of fun and that level of excitement, you're going to win games. You're going to see results. And my hope is that they can finally put the pedal down and, you know, maybe get another five and six here, or six and seven here, or something like that. I think they could do that. And then they're right as rain. They're pumping into October. And I can't watch that Kevin Kiermaier video more when he does the 3 weeks thing. So rad. And then he's like, hit me with a bucket. Like, I mean, I know you were going to do it, Lottie, but just hit me with it now. And,
I thought he was actually trying to play it off so he could piss Vladdy off just a little bit by, like, you know, doing a quick interview and then just ducking
and,
off.
And Ryan, you and Jody may not know this, but there's a certain fourth person in this conversation right now that we're having that wasn't the biggest Kevin Kiermaier fan not too long ago. So that being said, you know, I'm happy to see Kiermaier performing. I'm happy to see you mentioned George Springer. Holy, the guy's on fire right now. The baseball must look like a beach ball coming in, and he's smiling and running bases. And I love it. Love it. Well, baseball's so rad right now.
That was the thing I was so concerned about in the offseason, right? Like when they traded away Gurriel and Hernandez, is, you know, they had that Barrio. They like,
you know,
they had so much fun. Now, I did love, you know, the, okay, let's move a little more to professional, still have some fun, but yeah, they've really seemed to hit their stride over this past week, I feel like, with getting the balance of those two things. And you're absolutely right, Jason. Like if they can keep scrapping together those wins, you know, play in the Rays and, you know, come together, get those hits when they need to, get those the plays when they need it. That's what you want. Salvador Perez is 33.
What?
Seriously?
What, you've been playing since he was 6?
He looks 112.
Basically.
I was like, I looked it up. I was certain he was going to be past.
I'm sure he's 35, at least.
He was drafted just after Stubby Clapp.
So can I put this out there, though? Because, honestly, his bat is still going to keep him employed in Major League Baseball for a long time. You know, I think that if he's really that old, you know, what's the difference if he plays catcher for one more year, two more years, mentors the next catcher on whatever team he's playing on, if it's not the Kansas City
Royals? They had
him
playing first base, too.
I was going to say they've moved him out to first base, sort of like, you know, San Francisco did with Buster Posey back in the day.
Yep.
You know, just keep that bat in the lineup, keep him going.
Yeah. Universal DH now. He's got a job. You know what I mean? You know, he's going to be somebody like, you know, how the Blue Jays, the worst case scenario, this is probably the end of his career, becomes like the Kendrys Morales that just runs into 20 home runs a year or whatever it is, you know, at that point. So you never know. So, it's a perfect situation for Salvador Perez to be able to be in. Yeah. If the Blue Jays actually have the bases loaded with George Springer right now.
In-game update. Bases loaded, 2 out, Springer at the dish. I'll let you know if anything happens. No.
All right. Captain Clutch, but when he flips the desk over and starts running around his living room, you'll know what happened. So,
I have a question for you guys. So just back to the pitching, like we talked about how they like to move around and sort of paint the batter's box or the strike zone. So I keep looking at it from the perspective of you've got an excellent defensive team. Why not try to pitch more and put the ball in play? Throw the strikes because you have more options. If it's a swing and miss, you got the strike. If it's a swing and hit with the great defense, you know, we've got a better chance of keeping the outs going. Or am I missing something here?
No, like, Jody, it's so interesting that you would say that. So I coach Little League at a pretty high level. And one of the things that we're constantly trying to get the kids to do is pitch to contact. There's very few kids are going to hit it out, and those kids, you know, to sort of dance around, but the majority of the kids are not going to hit the ball out and hit a home run. So one of the things that I've noticed is Berríos is a very good pitch to contact pitcher. He likes to throw the ball in the zone. And what Kikuchi's done is Kikuchi is a pitch to contact pitcher, but he's so good right now, they're not touching him. So where I was talking about where it's throw another cutter. Why not? They can't touch it. Like, it's coming off the plate 6 inches. They're already swinging before it's 2 feet away. You're completely right. And I mean, I think that one of the things that Major League Baseball doesn't do very well on whole is trust their defense. I mean, they're paying guys to a lot of money to play their positional, and they're all good. There's nobody that's bad. You know, like, I know I was ripping on the Royals. They're good.
They're all better than me.
Yes. Yeah.
No,
the 1% of all best baseball players in the world, right? Is what makes it the Major League Baseball. Case in point, didn't make it out of college. So
I didn't make it out of T-ball, and my dad traded me.
For a bag of balls and a case of beer, right? Yeah, like freaking Walter Matthau and Bad News Bears or something. So good stuff. But
what's the update, Jason? What happened?
Springer hit a single up the middle, scored Biggio from third, and then I don't know who was up.
Bichette
hit a long out to center field.
Right. So, took the lead, 2-1.
2-1.
Anyone else on second, and it would have been 3-1.
Yeah. Well, Kirky almost, they were waving Kirky around. It looked like he was going to go, but that ball just wasn't hit far enough into center field.
No.
I don't know if Varsho or anybody's making that one.
You don't think so?
McCurkey opened up the scoring, though. He was the one that drove in Schneider right before that.
Yes,
so
he did.
That's good.
Oh, there you go. There's some guys in Bills unis.
Yeah. Well, they were retweeting on the Blue Jays account today and the Buffalo Bisons account. Josh Allen came up to not only, does the stuff with the home run derby and everything with Micah Hyde at the Buffalo Bisons arena for, charitable events. He came up and did batting practice with the Blue Jays one day, too. So they got that all over the Twitter account right now, too. Yep. So
that's well good. That is gone. See you later, baseball.
Ugh, no funds.
That was crushed. Good gravy. Oh, well, 2-2. Two, two.
So I wanted to make
your feed's a little ahead of mine because I
4-0-6. Good.
Tucking in there. So I wanted to mention what you mentioned about the Blue Jays having fun. I wanted to dive into that a little bit. I actually got an interesting piece of this from being at the walk-off podcast / lockdown podcast yesterday. I know, Jason, you watched some tidbits of that because Jay Jackson and Davis Schneider ended up attending as special guests to that show. And it was brought up with the fan Q&A that they did during the show. What is the locker room like these days? Because I think, Ryan, you were the one that mentioned it a moment ago with not having the goofballs of Lourdes Gurriel and Teoscar Hernandez. Everybody's kind of sees some of it, but that's one of the best things that we've always gotten as Blue Jays fans, especially over the last, couple of decades or whatnot with media where it's went. They've always been giving us a nice little look of what's going on in the ball club and whatnot. And even if it's just back in the day, the stir of the pots and drinking it and all that kind of stuff, we get those things in a broadcast where a lot of teams don't get that stuff. Davis Schneider actually went out of his way to drop a few names that said these guys actually, when I showed up the first day, they met me at the entrance and walked me in, showed me all around. And it's not like what I would have assumed Major League Baseball would have been with the next guy up kind of thing going on. But I think this speaks to the team that is the current Toronto Blue Jays. Not only did Matt Chapman meet him, he said that Kevin Kiermaier was there and Brandon Belt, the three of them, met him right where he came into the Rogers Center for the first time and showed him everything he needed to know. And I'm guessing they showed him pretty well, seeing he's been basically MVP or Babe Schneider or whatever I think Brandon Belt's been calling him at this point. I just thought that was the coolest thing. And then that obviously Jay Jackson was goofing around with talking about what goes on in the bullpen. And his key word was random. That's all he said. You don't know what's going on. It's just random. So But I think that was the point that fun is still happening, regardless of the fact that we don't have the home run jacket and some of these things that we have grown accustomed to. But I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on that whole thing. But there's just enough, it seems like, going on there on that point.
Well, no, I mean, you got to have that, right? You got to have team chemistry. Like there's nothing that can replace it. And it doesn't surprise me to hear that Kiermaier's there. I'm not going to lie. I was not a huge Kiermaier fan because he was on the Rays constantly making these spectacular catches against us. And then I got it.
I was holding the grudge personally over the whole stealing of the notes thing. And then Andy gets hurt every 5 minutes. I was like, okay, great, fine. If you want to sign Kevin Kiermaier, fine. But I was waiting for that. Like, where's the next move? Where's the next move? You were expecting him to be MVP Kevin Kiermaier. Like, he has been for the best ninth hole player in baseball, but that wasn't going to happen perfectly. This is the best story you could humanly have with Kevin Kiermaier.
I'm so happy to be wrong on that. Right.
And
I got to say,
I've owned up to that a million times on this show.
Jody and I were at, I think it was the home opener of the second game. We did go to both, and he made that leaping catch on the new center field wall. And I mean, instantly every Toronto fan forgot about the note. They forgot about all the plays he'd made against them and were in love with Kiermaier.
Always right with the world.
I'm just hoping that we have enough pull with this podcast by the end of this season when Kiermaier is, sort of in the MVP talk potentially for the whole year, that someone can get Craig a Kiermaier jersey to hang up behind him or, you know, wear on off days or whatever. But,
yeah,
you know,
being seeing that I was at the game with our other host, Ken Alfred, who's usually with us every Monday night, but he had some little league he had to attend to this evening too. I was surprised that when I met him with the ticket yesterday, he wasn't already there waiting with one. I'm shocked. Like, even if it was a Scherzy, it would have been perfectly fine and acceptable. It's goofball level. Meanwhile, kind of like you guys were talking about with the hot dog ones, Jason, I keep forgetting to mention you this one. I was going to get some Scherzy ones printed up with us. I had Jaybird watching in the nameplate and then had double zeros, and I'm going to put googly eyes in the zeros.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm in.
So just to make it fun. But no, I was very, very happy to hear from those two gentlemen last night that there is that level of shenanigans, because you can't take baseball too serious. It's a game of failure. It's a game of just a lot of sitting around waiting for something to happen. It's not instant clicks, right? You know, even with the new timing and everything. And by the way, that was fun talk last night too about the rules and who likes them and doesn't between those two. So I highly recommend listening to that and going to watch that on YouTube with the walk-off podcast, so you can get that information. But they need that, and I just was glad that in lieu of having the home run jack and everything, they have all found something. I love the like weird little Super Mario Punch thing that everybody's doing now, and you know, all that kind of good stuff. So it's back in business, I think, from that avenue from the Blue Jays. So Jason, we're going to go back around the horn here and talk Kansas City before we get to the point where we can start wrapping up here and eventually getting me to hopefully watch the Bills beat the living heck out of the Jets. So Jason, Kansas City Royals yesterday was probably one of the weirdest ways to watch a lead change I've ever seen in my life. And there's only one other person I can humanly think of that has ever seen any kind of meltdown like that. You were talking a complete other sport earlier, but that inning, Joe Reagan was running with everything, right? And he was just unstoppable. He was mowing everybody down. AL MVP, pitcher of the month level for last month. And the Blue Jays couldn't touch him. All of a sudden, a couple things happened in the favor of the Blue Jays. A couple walks, and then literally the hamster falls off the wheel and is left for dead, it seemed like, at that point. Walk us through what's going on at that point, Jason.
Well, I think that, you know, and it's funny because one of the things that I saw just previous to the series starting was that inning in the playoffs with the Rangers when they just forgot to play how to play baseball for an inning and a half, basically. And I mean, the wild pitches aside, I mean, the second one, I don't even know how to explain that. Like that's 15 feet wide and, you know, and just not even a baseball play. But
last time I saw a ball that far out of the strike zone, 50 cent through it.
Yes.
Ricky Vaughn threw it. Sounded fast. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things, and baseball can be, baseball is no different than any other sport. The big thing with baseball is that it gives you an opportunity to usually get that back, where, you know, in hockey, if you give up three quick or two quick or four quick or something weird happens, or you tip one into your own net. It's the same with football. Like I was watching the Cowboys, who did they destroy yesterday? Oh, the Giants.
Oh yeah.
And,
yeah.
I mean, the Giants looked like they were playing lacrosse and the Cowboys were playing football. I mean, it was so bad, but I mean, the Giants aren't going to lose every game and they managed to really lay an egg there. So that's all I can explain that one to. I mean, I feel like the series was good. I feel like the Jays played really well. I thought they hit with runners in scoring position way better. And even when the runners weren't in scoring position, they were having smart at-bats to advance runners. So they were getting guys into scoring position. How about Espinal, that bunt yesterday? Like, what was that, a suicide squeeze? And what was the other? There was something else weird in that inning, too.
Not to mention, when was the last time the Blue Jays actually did a suicide squeeze?
Oh, hit and run. It was a hit and run and then a suicide squeeze. It was, yep. I mean, it's
that hit
it's,
and run was pretty. Like,
nice.
Rewind it just to see how they pulled the second baseman in and just and hit. Because if I was trying to explain to my my niece, I pull it back. I'm like, the way this analytics works now, the second baseman was perfectly positioned for that hit. And if it wasn't for the hit and run, it would have been double play.
Yep.
Right. And the inning. And it was perfect because, oh, my God, he was so handcuffed. There was no way in hell he was getting back for that ball. No. So now you get all this going on, and eventually, and I think, and I don't know if you all saw it, but because I don't know what they showed on the broadcast, because I was in the ballpark yesterday to watch it. Reagan actually fell right before all the wildness going on. And you could see that he was, you know, I didn't know, it looked like it was a little dribble of a pass ball. It got away, but didn't really advance any runners or anything like that. But he was, it looked like Perez was going to rifle the ball through, and he like went to go duck and then fell.
Yeah.
Flat, right. So it was really kind of awkward. I leaned over to Ken in this, and I'm like, I hope that's just enough to throw him off his game.
Oh, it was.
I couldn't have been more right.
Yeah.
And three wild pitches leads to two runs, ties the game up. Blue Jays tied 2-2 then that inning. Yeah. And then Kevin Kiermaier comes up the next inning, hits a home run, and everything fell into place. Yeah. But so,
no, it was something else.
Although Jordan Romano, still with his overworkness, made it interesting in the last inning.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm at the point now where I think when Romano comes in, you have to have a multi-run lead. Like I'm convinced he's giving up 1-2 every time he comes in right now.
It's weird how I think he dials it up, and Jay Jackson was talking about that a little bit yesterday, but are you too comfortable with having that big of a cushion? You come in, you don't get amped up as much to run with it. And then, cause he was lights out on Friday night, right? That they were down ahead by one run. He came in the eighth.
Yeah.
So it's what you get psyched up for at that point. Right. But, I'm starting to get a little, I'm going to make a wonderful Blue Jays reference here that, Jordan Romano, as good as he's been, he's starting to remind me a little bit too much of Jason Frazier as a closer. Great Blue Jay closer, but he made it a freaking show.
He's scary.
Every damn time.
Scary.
So, yeah.
That's the thing, right? Is you look at it and it's like, yeah, no runs yesterday. Great. But that's not the inning that you wanted. Like, any means.
But it worked out. Yes. Yak on desk. They'll keep working.
Yeah.
So.
Take the wins. I'll take the wins, however they come.
Yeah. Yeah. W's exactly. W's.
The more W's, the better, as we are currently, if the season happened to end today, we are actually sitting currently in the second wild card spot. So, guys, we're not going to probably catch the Tampa Bay Rays, who are currently 7.5 games up from us. The Seattle Mariners haven't went away. They're only a game behind us in the third wild card spot. Texas, who we are playing today, which is the reason the Blue Jays are currently in the driver's seat for their own destiny over the next three games, or four games. So, and then Boston, as much as I don't want to say it, they're not dead yet. And they're playing us. So they're 6 games back. It's not easy for them, but that weirder shit has happened, and we still have to play more games at Fenway, which always scares. So what are you guys thinking as far as the last week it was, as far as standouts, performances, or anything like that, or anything that was big key thing for you to see go right?
For me, it was Springer and Bichette, right? Seeing the two of those guys. Springer with two home runs, was it Saturday? I think it was. Yeah. And you know, Bichette just coming in there. Berríos as well. I gotta say, I loved the trade.
A couple of bad pitches. That's it.
Yeah. I loved the trade when they made it. I was there for his first start in Toronto. Last year happened, and it was like, oh no, like what is happening? Because I love the extension as well, right? That they gave him before last season. And then all of a sudden, it's like he forgot how to pitch.
Yeah.
And I got to say, this year, I've been a lot more confident. And so, you know, seeing even though it is the Royals, and the Royals suck, like we said, they're all still professional baseball players.
Yeah,
so,
correct.
But, you know, seeing him go out there and go 7 strong, you know, had a little bit of difficulty in the 6th, but then came back. I got to say, like, I'm pleased. Those three, for me, are the big ones over this past weekend.
There you go. Jody, got any? Or Jason, which one do you want to run with that?
I'm thinking of shaving my beard because I got to get my mustache going. Like, just, I don't want to be, like, jumping on here. But I don't know. Is David Schneider the Munenori Kawasaki of this team? Is he the one that's bringing them all together again? I don't know. I can't.
At a minimum, there's a spark there, man. That's the big thing, right?
Every time he comes up, you're now expecting something to happen. And he makes it look so simple. And I want to believe, again, maybe you guys have some insights, but I want to believe that it's having its effect in the clubhouse, that they're seeing just the way he's come in from what he was doing in Buffalo and just carrying it through. And I want to keep seeing, that guy just rock it out. That's
yeah.
I don't know, Jody, his OPS has dropped to a meager 1.319.
Well, I saw he was under 400. I was getting disappointed.
Yeah.
What's going on?
My mom was
he's hitting like 490 with runners in scoring position too. So, there's always that.
So when I went up to the game yesterday, I dragged my mom along as I haven't went on a road trip with her in a million years. And I'm like, hey, come on, I'm going up for the day. I'm bowing by myself. Give me somebody to hang out with in the car for 3 hours. Right. She's looking at the numbers on the Jumbotron in center field before, and it's showing the OPS is not batting average. And goes, how the hell does he have an OPS of 1 point something? What the hell video game is this? So I'm like, yep, that's it.
I think I created that character once.
Yeah.
But just seeing the three of them, like you said, the Buffalo Brigade, the guys that have come up. I think one of the things as a fan I've been worried about is what's our minor leagues looking like? Like, do we have anybody on the farm? Do we have stuff coming and ready? I felt that we might be a bit thin. Turns out maybe we weren't. It's nice to see what we've got coming up.
Yeah,
you just thought we were thin as the 12 hot dogs.
Wow. Yeah, everybody seems a little thinner than me. I don't know.
I agree with you on Schneider. I mean, I think that's been a huge thing. My takeaway was Chad Green. Chad Green. I mean,
solid,
solid, and for a guy who I don't know why I want to cheer for him so bad, but I do. And I agree with you on Schneider. I think Schneider. I think the biggest thing with Schneider is at the start, when things were just so electric, everyone expected something to happen, just like you were saying. And I feel like people have just realized now that this is just him. He shows up at the park. He's a gamer. He's going to give you everything he's got for the whole entire game. And if you stick to your stuff and don't try and change yourself, don't try and reinvent yourself, if you just hit the ball hard, good things will happen. And I mean, you can't say enough about the guy, but yeah, Chad Green was my very refreshing. We need a sponsor, like a gum sponsor or something. It'd be our refreshing player of the week.
Now we're going to have like a Mentos commercial going on here.
My scope refreshing player of the week.
The only other thing I think of Schneider too is that when you see him, even when he has a bad plate appearance, you don't see that poutiness. You don't see that, it's the professionalism of just, yep, okay, they got me. And you can see it feels like he's calculating the next at bat already.
Yep.
It's because he is.
And I think a lot of that, he reminds me actually of the way the approach, you get not to the point of where he gets as frustrated at clearly, but he reminds me of the same gamer level as Bo was shot. It's that same mantra that I'm going to find a way to contribute to this team. Yeah. And after meeting him last night, I'm definitely a firm believer of that. So, but anyways, on that note, I want to put one out here for you guys too. And I'm calling out the fact that I am fully seeing the St. Louis Cardinals trade pay off 100% in Genesis Cabrera and Jordan Hicks. Those two guys over the last week have really, really dialed it up. And we got to see that over the week here. And it's nice to see that. Okay, great. We have everything going on well with the starting pitching. And then we have that running through the bullpen. Now the fact that Jay Jackson has been doing as well as he has been, and the fact that we had to drop him down to the minor leagues today, just shows how good this bullpen is currently running. Because right now, who do you sacrifice? And honestly, I would have loved to see Jay Jackson. I've loved everything he has done this season. I think he deserves to be on this team, but
yeah.
Right now, the guy that if you're going to talk about anybody that might be on the bubble other than him is either Bowden Francis or Trevor Richards. And Trevor Richards was having a great year until he got hurt.
Yeah.
He hasn't found it since. I think that's coming back too, but I don't know if I can take Bowden Francis out of here either.
Well, Richards is the reason that the Jays, kept going through all of Manoah's stuff and before Ryu was back, because he was coming out as that opener and pitching like you don't expect Trevor Richards to pitch.
Yeah,
100%. He's nasty. I give him that 100%, but I'm wondering if we burned him out from all that inning. And you know, is it worth letting him go down for another week and get things dialed back up here or whatever it might be? But you guys, you look at the stat, you know, the roster right now, and like I said, if the playoffs start today, you don't need Bowden Francis, and I would be bringing Jade Jackson back up because you're not going to worry about having a lawn man in the bullpen for a playoff roster. You're going to want somebody that can go out there and throw darts and get people out, and Jade Jackson's been there, done that. He's the veteran, and he's also having a great season. So
I agree.
There's that.
Good call, Frank.
So that's my piece to it, but okay. I'm going to give you guys your shameless self-promoting bit right now. Before we go into picks to click, because I got to think of how we're doing this with Ken not here for a minute, but I think I got the idea. So tell the Blue Jays fans before we get you guys in our pick to click roulette here at the end of the game.
What do we got, Randy? We got anything to shamelessly plug? You know, we're follow us on the
find Moody you tomorrow blog. Night.
Well, you can come on out, say hi. We'll be on the Schneider's porch for this game and the 26th as well. So definitely we want to see those records broken for most people. We're not in competition with anyone out there. Like, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, they're copying what, and we're like, no. Like, there was the first night we got recognized with this, there was people that were also wearing hot dog suits. We don't even know who they were. They just didn't happen to make it on TV. We're just happy to see people having a lot of fun with it. And literally you mentioned some nicknames for eating hot dogs and all that. When we were doing this, people are coming up like, what's your socials, I'm a 50 year old man in a hot dog, so I don't have socials. What do you like? I just, this is all this is, like, we didn't think for a while. So now that we finally set everything up, we've got Loony Dog Kings, one dog, two kings. Feel free to follow us. We try to engage in there as much as we can and just share with the fans. We just it's been a great way to just meet new people and if they're going to be shameless in anything, we're shamefully having fun, and it's and we hope we're sharing that with others.
Yep. Awesome. Stop by, take a picture, say hi, whatever. We love interacting with people and meeting fans. I think we had a record last time. You know, we met them from all across Canada, but last time we were chatting with some fans from Denmark after the game. So
nice. Yeah, that's a little bit out of the way.
Yeah, just a little bit of a trip.
Yeah, we have some friends through this show and that run some Twitter accounts and clubs and stuff for Blue Jays fandom in the UK and France, but I have not reached anybody as far as Denmark, as far as I'm aware, either. So I guess I'll have to deep dive into my analytics, Ryan, and see if there's somebody that's been listening in from Denmark or not.
Well, it's the part that always surprises us, Craig, when somebody comes out and says, you know, I'm here from Vancouver, I'm here from Nova Scotia, we saw you on the TV, we had to get a picture. And always happy to share the experience. We just think it's so much fun, and Blue Jays fans are really the best.
Yep, best fans in baseball.
Totally agree.
And I just wanted to I just wanted to make mention to some good friends of ours, and her dad has been listening to the cast from the day that I started on the cast. So Lance, how's it going, buddy? Thanks for being a part of this, and I hope you enjoy that. He'll go nuts for that. It's awesome.
There you go. So good deal. So I think I got this figured out. So on this show we do picks to click every week, and it's less trying to guess who the best performer in Toronto Blue Jays baseball will be before our next recording, which will be Monday at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And right now, last week was a little all over the place, and I'm gonna use our hot dog kings here as the tie-breaking votes here between the guest spots and whatnot from the last week. I'm not going to tell you whose these picks were, but if you two gentlemen could come to some kind of consensus on who they might be the victor, I will make sure I put a tally up on our scoreboard here between the three of us on the show and our guest spot. So we had Ernie Clement, Alejandro Kirk, Dalton Varsho, and Vladdy.
All right, so Ryan, I know you're going to have some rationale behind yours, but I came away from last week really impressed with where Kirk is starting to find some groove back. I felt he may have been, if I wasn't picking Schneider, he may have been my guy. I don't think he's done enough, but there was a corner seemed to be turning. Even tonight, I've seen he's had a couple of hits, I think, and or at least, you know, we driving in Schneider earlier. I think he's so if I was making my vote, I don't know if I'm convincing Ryan on this. I can be convinced otherwise. What do you say?
So it was Clement, Varsho, Kirk, and Vladdy. All right. Well, definitely dropping Varsho and Vladdy out immediately. But I was leaning Clement. Just because, I mean, you know, filling in for Bo, you know, is never an easy thing. Stepping in on that infield, you know, you got Bo, you've got, you know, Witt, who's been playing a lot of second, you've got Chapman. Like, filling those shoes is not an easy task. And I mean, he helped to carry this team. So that's where I would go. So
I could be swayed to Clement. He was my second. So
okay. So there you go. So I'm gonna say, Jason, I finally won a week.
Clearly we were both wrong, Ryan.
I didn't want to. Well, my guy was terrible, so let's not even talk about that. So
who'd you pick, Jason?
I had Varsho.
Yeah, he was the first one I dropped off.
Yeah, bad, so real bad. Unfortunately, Jason, he had some good points the last week, but it wasn't extended, would be the catch. No. So he definitely made his way onto the highlight reel last week. But
definitely.
All right, so we're going to do hot dog one, hot dog two here. And Ryan, we'll let you pick first. I'm going to let you pick for Ken this week. So
for this if
you would
coming
like to tell
week
me who you think the best Blue Jays performer is going to be before next Monday.
I'm going with Merrifield.
There it is. Two-hit Witt.
Two-hit Witt.
All right, Jody, you're the other guest filling in for the guest spot. Who do you think?
There we go. Well, I think Springer has started to find the spring back in his step. I think this week he's just going to carry it over. The momentum has started, and he's going to keep driving it home. A couple more Springer dingers all week long, and he wants to put those Texas teams under.
That's a great pick. Yeah, I almost went with Springer.
We're at his favorite time of the year, too, where Captain Clutch comes through, not just the normal everyday Springer. Jason, who's your pick for this week?
I am going to go off the map a little bit here, and I am going to take Brandon Belt.
Ooh. Going back to Double B.
Going back to Double B.
High risk, high reward.
Like yep. That's great. Yeah. So I get
and
to
it's
mention
great
this.
I don't care.
Yeah,
you're that far out of this.
Come on, you and I.
Neither do I, because my pick's not even for the guest.
Yeah,
sorry, Ken.
So,
that's right. We should have sandbagged Ken. Ryan, you should have sandbagged Ken. You should have taken like Rance Mullenix or
Can you choose John Schneider,
who just got that sent back down? Yeah, there you go.
Jay Jackson.
John Schneider.
Jay Jackson.
So I'm glad that I was able to score a win last week with Ernie Clement, who is from literally the next town over from where I live here in Rochester, New York. So nice to see him actually playing in the game yesterday when I happened to be up, which I brought a sign that said hello from Rochester or something. But on that point, I got to pick somebody here. And I think I'm going to go with a wild one here because he hasn't been picked by anybody on my sheet here all season, which I can completely understand. But he's going to be playing a lot of games at third base. And I'm going to give Santiago Espinal a shot.
Oh, wow. Merry Christmas, Santi.
So, like I said, I'm going off the board a little bit here, and I'm going to see what happens. But he's going to be playing every day, so I want to see what I can get. So is there any other topics any of all you would like to talk out before we call this one adjourned for this evening? Good to go? All right, if you guys want to hang out for 0.2 seconds, let's go ahead. After the show, I'll make sure we can say goodbye appropriately. But on that note, Blue Jays fans, make sure you listen in every week at 7 o'clock Eastern time every Monday evening. We are getting near playoff season. Jason and I have already been laying the seeds for what we want to do outside of that one recording and see what we can get to so we can have some more chats as everything obviously ramps up for the playoff push here into the what is should be a playoff per because this is 91 team at this point. I think, guys, I don't think there's any real way of not saying that, but we'll see what happens over the next few weeks. And if you want to listen in, and you miss us during the live shows, make sure you come in and comment. Make sure you listen to us on our podcast, and you can get us anywhere you can find your podcasting pleasures for, whereas on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, any of that kind of good stuff. So we are the official podcast of jaysjournal.com, part of FanSided, and it's that time of the evening, boys, where we do two claps and a Ric Flair. One, two, three. Woo! Let's go Blue Jays.
Blue Jays.
And hot dogs.
And very much hot dogs.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at Birdwatching GC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go Jays, go.
Woo!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.